Hey, this is Evan Mark Katz, dating coach for smart, strong, successful women, and your personal trainer for love. Still can't get over this little thing I got in my throat, but it almost doesn't matter because the content, the ideas are so good that it doesn't really matter how I sound is what I tell myself. So if you are a Love You podcast fan, and we do have like 50,000 downloads a month, there, someone is listening. If you're a Love You podcast fan, please, if you haven't already, I implore you, give us a positive review on Apple. Give us a positive review on Spotify. Subscribe where you get your podcasts, whether it is on one of the lesser known players, if it's on YouTube, if it's on my blog. Please make sure you get notified when new content comes out. Right now it comes out, or it has been coming out on Friday afternoons. We may be changing that. I don't know. I just want to reach as many people as possible. One thing I haven't asked you to do in a while is tell a friend. One of the nicer things that I get as a coach when I finally end up working with women, when we develop a relationship, is the number of referrals that I get. The people who said, oh, I met your client who worked with you 5 years ago, and now she's with her husband, and there are good friends or things like that. Those are the most meaningful things in the world. So if you are a listener and you think a friend of yours who can benefit from this dialogue, please don't hesitate to share it with her as well. So without further ado, like all people, I have a few flaws. You could probably tell some of them just by listening to me. Some of them you can't, but I couldn't do this job if I weren't comfortable in being completely transparent with what is wrong with me. I am, and this is just a cross-section. I am opinionated, intense, and emotional. I suffer from occasional anxiety and insomnia. I have to write this down, otherwise I won't remember. I am obsessed with my career. I am not always a great listener. My wife will tell you that. I lack tact. And I sometimes speak before I think. I'm not that tall, just 5'9". I have big ears. I got a slight speech impediment, which I hate when I listen to myself. I'm not that physically active. I have a low libido. I pick my toenails when I read in bed. My wife loves that. And we could go on, but that's a place to start. I just rattled off, you know, a dozen things that would be easy for me to say that most people are not going to like those things. And I don't mind saying those things about myself because they happen to be true. And I want to live in reality. I don't want to live in fantasy land where I don't have flaws. And because that's bullshit. That's what social media is for. Podcasts are to tell the truth, hopefully. And so as I hinted at, you know who knows all of those things that I just shared with you better than anybody? My wife. We've been together for 15 years, we're married for 15 years, and you might think, poor woman, to be with a husband who's not always a great listener, right? Who embarrasses himself by speaking before he thinks. She literally said, I don't want to sit next to you at my son's football games because you're always coaching from the sideline and you're that guy, and I don't want to sit next to you. This was just a couple of weeks ago. So you casual listener may be thinking, oh, poor woman, long-suffering woman. You know who doesn't think she's a poor woman? My wife. Because despite all of my litany of bad qualities, I also happen to be hardworking, ethical, honest, well-read, interesting, a good communicator, pretty funny, really good husband and father. I support the family financially. I support my wife emotionally. I help out around the house as much as she needs me to. And we have built what I think is a pretty amazing life together. So as always, two things are simultaneously true. And I know it's never a good look to talk about your good qualities. Bad qualities make you look self-effacing. Good qualities make you look like a braggy asshole. But I needed to balance the scales for the sake of this podcast. So most people don't talk about this. They won't talk about their own personal flaws. They won't talk about the flaws of their marriage. And I do talk about the flaws in my marriage all the time to illustrate this is what a healthy relationship looks like. I'm not saying we're the best couple in the world. I'm not trying to compare and contrast. I do give dating and relationship advice from a place of experience. I don't think I would have much credibility in telling you what you should and shouldn't compromise on for a long-term relationship if I hadn't found something that I've come to peace with as well. And so all marriages are about tolerance. It's about two flawed people largely ignoring each other's flaws, despite the fact that they pop up all the time, because overall, the good far outweighs the bad. And that's important, right? Most people, I think, weight things not incorrectly, right? I don't know if this is something I'm talking about later or not. I scripted this out last week and I'm reading it now, but I think that people will make a big deal about a guy being 5'9", for example, right? I'm not dating any guy. I'm 5'7". I'm not dating any guy less than 5'11". And that becomes the going story. But as long as he's 5'11", I will put up with him only texting me twice a week. I will put up with the fact that he doesn't talk about a future with us. I will put up with the fact that he is kind of a jerk, and I don't entirely trust him. I'll put up with that, but I won't put up with the fact that he's 5'9". So we see people have apply these sort of different weights to things. And if anything, I'm just trying to get you to weight things in a way that's more effective for you. And so to be clear, it's not like my wife is blind to any of my flaws that I wear nakedly here with you. It's that she doesn't weight my flaws, which are completely real, as much as she weights the good traits. The good traits are 90% of it, and the bad traits are 10% of it. And the bad traits fall more under the annoying or ick or grumble rather than this is a deal breaker, right? Again, if your husband picking his toes in bed is the reason you divorce him, I'm not saying it's an attractive quality in anybody, but I don't know if that's the reason for a divorce. He cheats on you probably is a reason for divorce. So what happens when you meet a good guy? And the attraction isn't blinding. And this is interesting. This is worth talking about. When the attraction's blinding, you'll put up with any amount of bullshit. Endless deep wells of bullshit will be put up with when you're blindly attracted to someone. The chemistry is an 11 out of 10, right? And he could be a serial killer. And you'd be like, six people he killed? Six. You can't even field a football team with that, right? So that's what happens when people are blindly attracted. But when you're not blindly attracted to someone where he's just attractive, he's in within the normal bell curve of attractive, he's a 7, you will dissect that man like a lab rat. You will find every flaw in the book and you're hyper-focused on him. Why? Because you're seeing him clearly. You got a guy, he's a great guy, he's long-term relationship material, he treats you so well. And all you could think is, I wish he were 2 inches taller. I wish he made more money. I wish he was 20 pounds thinner. I wish he was just a little smarter than I was. I wish he was just a little funnier, a little more charismatic. I wish he liked the same things. We just have sort of different hobbies. And so we start to find all the ways that he's not the fantasy man you had in your head, which is the male version of you, but taller and better. And so that's, you're right. You're a human being. This is what people do. The whole reason I'm telling this story is what I did with women when I was single, before my wife. I would dissect every person I met. That's how you end up going on 300 dates, my friends. It's your right to look at a guy and say, I wish he were, even though he's the first guy that you've met who treats you the way you deserve, even though you know, certainly on paper, he's a great guy. And you actually like him, his personal company as well, a lot. You just focus on his flaws. So let's flip that around. Couldn't he do the same for you? Like, wouldn't it be just as easy for him, the way I sat here and confessed my flaws, wouldn't it be easy for him to, like a home inspector, look at you and write all these things down and wish that you were 5 years younger, that you were 20 pounds thinner, that you made more money, that you liked the exact same things that he did? Couldn't he wish you were more secure, wish you were more trusting, that you were more warm, that you were more appreciative, more adventurous, more nurturing? Isn't it possible that a guy could theoretically think those things? Probably. because if you're like everybody else, there's something you could be better at. We can't all be great in every area of our lives. But the man that you're crazy about, or the man who's crazy about you right now, the one we'll call your boyfriend, the 7 chemistry, 10 compatibility guy, he doesn't focus on what's wrong with you. He focuses on what's right about you. And that's why he's a great partner, because he knows your flaws and largely ignores them. A few weeks ago, we talked about how the greatest gift you can give to a guy is your full acceptance. Full acceptance meaning you understand he's imperfect, but he's good enough as he is. And you appreciate him and you realize you've dated for a long time, you've been in many relationships, and you haven't done any better. So at a certain point, when do you say, you know what? I know what's out there, and I'm going to hold on to this. In my second book called Why You're Still Single, I'm not encouraging you to go out and buy it. It's 2006. Right? We talked about this metaphor, hitting on 20. Right? If you're in Vegas, you know you don't hit on 20. But think of how many people do the equivalent thereof. Or they underrate their guy. He's not a 20, he's a 17. But we're always kind of looking for the next best thing. I've dated guys who are taller. I've dated guys who are richer. I've dated guys who are smarter. I've dated guys who are funnier. Yes, and they all turned out to be pieces of shit or incompatible with you or didn't want you or you didn't trust them. So comparing the new guy side by side with the old guy is sort of a fool's errant. There's only two choices for relationships. And this is for everybody. There's only two choices. This is not a man-woman thing, right? Because I'm a coach for women, I'm talking to you as a woman. Choice number one, accept him as he is in full and assume he's never going to change. This is as good as it gets, right? Number two, break up with him. Because if you can't accept him as he is, knowing he's never going to change, you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life if you can't accept him. So two choices in relationships, accept him, break up with him. What's the thing that most people do? They create a third option, continue to date him and constantly criticize him and tell him what's wrong with him and how he needs to change. Not because you're wrong. Any criticism that you could level at me, any criticism my wife could level at me, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm saying that, you know, criticizing me is not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to change. I'm largely a finished product. I hope I keep evolving, but the idea that I'm suddenly going to become a different man than I was for the first 50 years of my life, it's unlikely at best, right? And nobody brings you in to be their consultant, no more than you'd want a man to come in and criticize all the things he doesn't like about you and how you could improve. So if we just understand that love is about tolerance and acceptance more than butterflies, we're going to do a lot better in love. Having someone who accepts you in full feels great, and you've probably never had a guy who really accepted you in full. And that's why it's such a gift when you could find a guy who, not that you don't wish will change, because wishing is normal, but not really acting on that, not leading with the criticism, not he would be better if, and telling him all the ways in which he was better if. I remember going out to dinner once upon a time with a couple where the wife wasn't happy with the husband's career, and she spent all dinner berating him for his dreams. I think he wanted to be a screenwriter, and she was just on him, telling him to get a real job and how he wasn't going to be able to support their family. And it was such a really negative vibe. Imagine a guy who didn't support your dreams. Imagine a guy who was constantly cutting you down. Whew. You probably can't imagine it. You've probably been with a guy like that. It's not that much fun. The question to always ask yourself when you're dating a guy is, if you're dating him, let's presume he's never going to change. Could you do this for the rest of your life if he never changed? And if the answer is yes, which is the conclusion I drew with my wife, you hold on for dear life and you make that relationship work. And it's mostly easy and it's mostly fun and you'll be very happy that you did. But if you are dating a guy and you can't accept him as he is, and you won't be happy unless he changes, get out of the relationship. You're not his boss. You're not his project manager. It is not your job to get him to change. It is your job to find a guy that you can accept. And it's incumbent upon you to let him find someone who does accept him instead of trying to change him. So we need to hold that delicately in our hands. You're not wrong for picking up on what his flaws are. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're unreasonable. I'm saying you have two choices, not three. Accept him or leave him. Don't date him and criticize him and hope he changes, because no one will be happy in that scenario. My name is Evan Mark Katz. I am a dating coach for high-achieving women who have everything but the guy. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave us a positive review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Please tell a friend. Please write something nice that will make me smile and make me read it out loud on a future podcast. And if you want to find love, want to find a man that you don't have to change, that you really can accept, because he does exist, even if you haven't found him yet, he does exist. But if you haven't been finding him on your own, you need a different way to go about it. That's my job, to hold your hand through this entire process, soup to nuts, from confidence to commitment, and get you the love that you deserve. Go to evanmarkkatz.com/apply. Give me your name and email address. Watch a short video on how to fix your broken man picker. Fill out an application, and I will talk to you on the phone soon. Thanks for your time. I love you. I appreciate you, and I thank you for being part of the Love You podcast. Bye-bye.